Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Little news, brand new Nomad is out, my travel series on YouTube. You know, I really miss going to games. Over the last year, that is the thing, part of the thing that has been toughest. I think if you're a sports fan and like me, like going to games, it's been tough. And to do this job, going to games, I find to be really, really important. Of course, watching games on TV, you can observe a lot and you get the stats and you get a kind of a good overview of the entire field versus when you're in the stadium, you get slow motion replays and all of that. But when you're at games, you get a feel. I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. When you go to a game versus watching it on TV, there is a feel. You can feel what the energy in the stadium is. You can feel what is going on the sidelines. You can feel the energy of the players or the coaches or of the game, of the ups and downs. There just is a feel that is very important. And for example, you go to an NBA game, and if you watch it on TV, you go to timeout, you come back from break, you don't see what they're doing in the sidelines. You don't see what they're doing in the huddle. You don't have the feel of, you know, in the stadium, what that 12-2 run feels like there versus watching it on TV. For a football game, same type of thing. You go to break, you watch beer commercials and Dorito commercials, you come back, you're on your couch, maybe you're just watching the Red Zone channel, you never see a commercial break, you're zapping around to every game, bop, 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 bop. But if you're at an NFL game or a college football game, there is certainly a feel of how the game is going, this momentum, this play, this is when the crowd got up, this is when the crowd was silent, this snap count was off, all that type of stuff. I always love doing that to get those vibes, get those feels, and to be a full year removed from going to a game. I know that some of you, I'm sure, have been at some of these limited capacity games, but I have not been. I'm dying to get back, just dying, and just an overall enjoyment experience. Going to a game, having a beer, and watching sports is like, that's what I was wired to do. So anyway, I say this as a long preamble to my most recent Nomad episode I released last night, which was an experience at a soccer match. AC Fiorentina from the first division in Italy took on Benfica, a Portuguese powerhouse, at Red Bull Arena, which is a soccer-specific stadium for the New York Red Bulls, just outside of Newark, New Jersey, which is here in the tri-state area. And the stadium is just gorgeous. For its size, it is considered one of the great soccer stadiums in the world. The sight lines are amazing. This kind of like concave shape that I'm sure you've seen with other soccer stadiums keeps all the noise in. and two great fan bases showed up. But even though it was a middle of the summer friendly 2 summers ago, it just was great. It was great to be there. It was great to just be there and feel the action and to feel the ups and downs of the match and just to feel the energy. And where this stadium is located is a kind of an interesting story. It is located in Harrison, New Jersey. And the reason that the Red Bulls decided to plop their stadium, this beautiful spaceship of a stadium, down in a working-class neighborhood outside of Newark was that the surrounding areas were filled with Latin American culture and communities and neighborhoods. Huge international diverse neighborhoods and population around there. So it's awesome. I love going down there for a Red Bulls match or an international match or whoever's playing and go get food at one of these great cafes or restaurants and get some amazing Latin food or whatever. You can find anything down there, Portuguese, etc., and then walk across the bridge across the Passaic River to go inside the stadium. And this is how fans oftentimes go, and they will chant and throw smoke bombs and bang drums. And it's just awesome. I mean, the whole thing is just a whole experience. It's really, really cool. But the Passaic River is also one of the most polluted bodies of water in all of the country because for decades, all the factories in Newark and New Jersey, et cetera, just dumping toxic sludge in there. So they've tried to like gentrify this area around the water with a boardwalk, but this is where the stadium is with condos. So it's just this kind of like bizarre gentrification, but this amazing spaceship of a stadium in the middle of this working class neighborhood. And it's awesome. It's just the whole thing is cool. So I wanted to capture that whole experience. So I tried to do that and going through the footage, you know, because I shoot and edit all of this myself. I just love doing it. And I think it's a cool extension of this show of my experiences traveling to watch sports for this show. And I love exploring the culture around stadiums and around sports towns. And going through the footage, I'm just like, boy, watching these guys chant and watching the crazy dude with the shirt on next to the crazy dude with the chicken mask on and watching the fans go up and down and sing and seeing me just with a beer in one hand and watching a game in the other hand. And gosh, it just is so refreshing. It was so liberating and yet so annoying to know that we're not there yet. I can't wait till we get back. Hopefully this summer and fall, hopefully we're almost there. NFL is saying they're planning for full capacity coming up in the fall. That would be awesome. So it was a reminder of how cool it was. I can't wait to get back to do those things. But if you want to check out this video, this part of my series, it's available on YouTube right now. Just search my name and Nomad. It's pretty easy because Damon is Nomad spelled backwards. So my name and Nomad. Also, I'm going to post this to my Instagram as well for IGTV. So if you follow me there, you'll get it as well. You could watch it on your phone pretty easily, either YouTube or on Instagram. But if you're not following me on Instagram, you can do so at Damon Amendo. Again, at Damon Amendo. Pretty easy to remember, I hope. Go and follow me there, and I'll post that after the show so you can check out. You can watch the entire thing with an Instagram where I will post it. So little heads up, brand new Nomad episode is out. And it's a pretty quick one, too. Some of my episodes can run like 10 minutes, 12 minutes, even 15 minutes. The Little Mo episode was about 15. This one was only about 6 or 7 minutes. So you're in and out. So yesterday, Carson Wentz is now all happy he's a Colt. And I get it. I totally understand why he's happy. I think that anybody could look at the Colts and say that's a better roster than the Eagles. And it's a kinder, gentler sports town than Philadelphia. And if you are Carson Wentz and you're looking for a reboot, going to Frank Reich is a really appetizing, enticing option. So I get all of that. We had Dan Dockich yesterday on the show. He was wonderful. He's a sports talk host in Indianapolis. You know, and he said, look, everybody here just kind of happy that the Colts are competitive. So there's not going to be a lot of angry media or fans banging down the door of Frank Reich or Carson Wentz if this thing doesn't work to a T compared to Philadelphia, where it is DEFCON 4 every single day. But let's be perfectly clear. Carson Wentz demanded a trade. And Wentz's agent said yesterday that they never demanded a trade, that they told the Eagles that a fresh start would be good for both, but that Carson Wentz was willing to come back, since he was under contract, this fall and compete for the job with Jalen Hurts and whomever. I mean, what a lie. What type of spin doctoring is that? Carson Wentz didn't demand a trade. I mean, does Team Wentz think that we're just all total bozos? Like, you open up our ears and the brains just pour out? Carson Wentz, when he was finally benched for Jalen Hurts at the end of last regular season for that Green Bay game, immediately voiced his displeasure, and Adam Schefter immediately reported that Carson Wentz doesn't want to play in Philadelphia anymore. Remember, that was the first report out of Schefter the next day. Wentz isn't happy. Wentz wants to go somewhere else. Remember week 17 when the Eagles got all in that hot water for playing Nate Sudfeld and the loss where they were kind of punting against Washington, allowing Washington to win the division? Remember how Carson Wentz wasn't even active for that game? Remember that? That in week 17, the Eagles had essentially made him a healthy scratch. How can Carson Wentz's crew lie and act as though it wasn't a trade demand? It's so laughable. Wentz was not going to be a good soldier and come back and compete for the job. That's why they traded him. And that's the sad part here. Okay, that's the sad part. And this, Wentz gets a fresh start. It works for Wentz. Maybe he'll be good again. We'll see. But this is where I lose a lot of respect for Carson Wentz, okay? Wentz pouted. Wentz was unhappy. Wentz wanted out, and then gets his way because he didn't want to go anywhere else but Indianapolis. So the Eagles have to take 50 cents on the dollar because there is no real trade value by going other places. There's no bidding war. And then Wentz has the gall to say through his agent, well, we never demanded a trade. We would have been happy coming back to Philadelphia and competing for a job. Like hell you would have been. That's why they traded you. And I'm not here to defend Howie Roseman, okay? Because Roseman's roster has plenty to be desired. Roseman gave him, well, traded all the picks for him and then gave him all of the money and then had to trade him for a second round pick and a third round pick, okay? So give me a break. You think Howie Roseman, if he felt it was an option to bring back Carson Wentz, would have done that instead of eating a second and a third and some guaranteed money for Carson Wentz just to get him out of town? Of course not. Like hell, you would have been happy coming back competing for a job. That is insane. That's obscene to even say. And I'm more annoyed than ever about how this went down. If you believe you got to get out and you can steer your way to a better situation for your career, look, that's your prerogative. You were under contract, but fine. That's your prerogative. Like Carson Wentz, if I felt I was being left to die at my workplace and I could get to a place that was far more successful and give me a better chance to succeed, then you know what? I'm sure I would want to get there as well. I'm not sure I would use the same tactics that he did, basically quitting on his team, but I think we could all understand that. What I don't want to hear is Carson Wentz acting like, no, I would have been happy going back. We never demanded a trade. This is just the way that it came out in the wash. Wrong. That is wrong. The Eagles did not want to have to trade a guy that they would have to eat dead money on for a second and third round pick. I know the two can become a one, but there's no guarantee it's a one. Carson Wentz is injury prone. If Carson Wentz gets injured, guess what? It's a second round draft pick. If Carson Wentz stinks, which he did last year, the Colts could start Jacoby Brissett if they wanted to. And then you're not getting that first round draft pick. So don't tell me that the Eagles or anybody in Philadelphia, that the Eagles just wanted to trade Carson Wentz, and Wentz would have been happy coming back. They knew it was a rotten situation. They had, by the way, they had fired Doug Peterson. So Wentz didn't even have the guy that he hates the most of the franchise around anymore, and they still felt like they had to trade him to get a 2 and a 3 to eat dead money. I mean, give me a break. You know, this is where Carson Wentz again loses me, is that he doesn't want to be the bad guy, but is willing to do bad guy things. You want, if you need to get out of there, fine. Don't lie about it. Be the bad guy then. You want to be the bad guy? Fine, you're the bad guy. Don't lie that, no, I was actually a really good guy. I would have come back and compete. No, give me a break. Liar. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, it's Trash Tuesday. We'll take out our trashes next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Tom Brady does not do any autograph signings in San Mateo, his hometown.
Is that right?
And that's not very nice.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's not very nice. Come on, Tom. Find some time. Hometown. Be nice to these people. Glad you're back with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Boy, there's so many ways you can listen to us. You can listen to the great CBS Sports Radio across hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. You can also listen to us on SiriusXM 206 every single morning. You can stream us using the radio.com app, or you can go to the brand new CBSSportsRadio.com. The website is refurbished, rebooted, looking great, so fresh and so clean, and stream us there, CBSSportsRadio.com. Or tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Coming up here on the show next hour, Molly Arbogast is going to join us. She's the CEO of a sports marketing firm called POV. And she's spent many years in professional sports, and she had some great insights last year, last spring, summer, when the pandemic first hit, about what sports would look like in 2021. A lot of what she said came true. We'll replay some of her predictions for you and then also ask the question, what does the rest of 2021 look like in 2022? Also, in hour number 4, John Rothstein's going to join us an hour and a half from now. Some bracketology with John Rothstein. Stay hungry, stay humble. But it's a Trash Tuesday, which means it's time to vent. Roll tape!
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, get me Rubinoff. Have your hand on the button ready to go as our trashes are ready to roll. We start with Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, who are you trashing?
DA, I have definitely trashed this before, but I'm doing it again because it's still a problem. Some dude, I believe his name is George, in Manhattan, has my cell phone number attached to his Grubhub account. Now, it's not an issue of my account is compromised, I am not getting charged for any of this, but somehow along the way, my cell phone number is on this guy's account. It happened months ago, a couple times in a row. I called, I thought it was fixed, didn't happen. And now twice in the last 10 days, out of nowhere, I get the automated text, blah, 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 has received your order. It'll be ready soon. Your order is done. It's been picked up. It's on the way. Friday night, I got a text from the driver saying, I'm here. Come down and get your food.
No.
When I call Grubhub, their solution is, we have to ask him to take your number off his account. Why can't they just delete it so this stops happening? But no, I've got to wait for George in Manhattan to listen to this email from Grubhub and maybe go back and delete my phone so I stop knowing what he got from Safari Restaurant last Friday night. Trash them all.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
So George in Manhattan never knows when his order is ready or the DoorDash guy is downstairs.
Yeah, I think the big thing is if he doesn't have a doorbell, he's screwed. Now, he'd look on his app, I guess, and see the progression of his order, but he's not getting the automated text nor the, hey, I'm here, come get your food message. And I've even gotten phone calls from the delivery guy being like, come down and get this. Yeah. One time the restaurant called me and said, we don't have so-and-so. What can we put in your order instead? So this guy has missed out on important information. So it does behoove him to get the right cell phone number on this account, but he won't do it.
Well, you should screw with Georgia Manhattan. When they call and they say, you know, we don't have the chicken Caesar, what else would you like? You know, you just order something totally crazy, totally off the board. You know what? Add this to the order. Add this to the order. I want extra anchovies on top of this. I want something really crazy. Put peanut butter and jelly on my pizza. Something like that to really screw with George, because he's putting you out. You know, he's making your life worse. So I'd like you to do that. Number two, do you ever get the update of George in Manhattan's order and be like, yeah, you know what? I'd like that. That actually inspires me to eat something or order something from DoorDash.
No, that hasn't happened yet. But your first idea is a good one, because I might have to do something relatively drastic to get this fixed. Because I don't, and again, I'm not getting charged for this. So it's not a bad thing. It's just an annoyance. But I want it to stop. And I find Grubhub's response unacceptable. So I might need to like call and cancel the order so George doesn't get it. So he learns his lesson to just get my, I'm like, maybe we have like this almost the same cell number. Like maybe numbers are flipped or whatever. So it's a quick fix that he needs to do so I get out of his ordering life.
When you get your next Georgia Manhattan order, you should call up the restaurant and say, okay, add to that 10 pies. I need 10 pizzas here. Okay, add to that. Suddenly he's got 10 pies. He'll be like, how did this happen? Well, you called up and then you screw Georgia Manhattan. He's got, you know, pies for the next 2 months. Maybe Connor can come over and eat one of them. And then you hopefully...
Maybe it is Connor, by the way, period. Maybe Connor is George in Manhattan. I'm funding his pizza life.
Get me Rubinoff. Sam Rubinoff on the board today. One of the Diaper D aliens. Sam, who are you trashing?
DA, I have had enough of this 2-3 zone that Syracuse plays. Either put your hand up on the guy shooting the wide open three or rebound the basketball. Last night, they didn't do either one. They gave up 52 points in the first half, and game was over, and pretty much the season was over at that point. So I'm done with this 2-3 zone. Get it out of here. I'm trashing Jim Boeheim and sticking with that zone.
Get him out.
This must be garbage time.
Fear not. Jim is very young and flexible. He likes to adjust to, you know, what's thrown at him. He's not set in his ways at all. So I think... You know, I'm sure he'll see the error of his ways, and maybe next year, you know, he's got a long, long career to go. Jim will make that adjustment. Sam Rubinoff complaining about the 2-3 zone is like the 40th year that Syracuse fans or alumni argue and, you know, hate the 2-3 zone. Like, we've been doing this. You know, I was in school in the late 90s, early 2000s, and we were like, is the 2-3 zone over yet? I mean, he's been doing this for 25 years now. That was 20 years ago. He'd been there 40 years, and we're still going like, is this over yet? When is this actually wrapping? Are we wrapping this thing up here, Jim? When is it going to be over? You good yet? So we'll talk more bracketology, though, with John Rothstein coming up here on the show in hour number 4. On Sunday, I don't know about you, Bogues, but the snow has started to really break my will here, because it feels like it snows just about every other day, and I'm shoveling, and we got to get the plow guy around here, and I'm on the ATV trying to push things around, and the whole thing is just a nightmare. Every day it's something else, and we still got a week left in February, so it's not like the snow is definitely out of our radar. So on Sunday, I'm like, you know what? Actually, Saturday. I said, I'm going to treat the snow like I'm having fun with it. That way I'm flipping the relationship.
And have fun with your snow.
Have fun with your snow. With the 17th straight week of snow. So I said, I'm going to go get a snow tube. Now I'm going to go sleigh ride. I'm going to go sledding. And of course, the Bourbon Bell is like, you're going to do what? You're 41 years old. We got no kids. What are you going to do? And I'm like, no, you know what? I'm flipping this. I'm going to have a few beers, and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to sleigh ride, okay? Maybe not the smartest thing in the world for young people, but I'm, you know, just to take the edge off. Okay. So I go out, I go to Target, and they're like, oh, we've been sold out of sleds forever. I'm like, okay,
yep.
Great. So I'm shopping for, you know, snow tubes or sleds in the final week of February. So I'm toast anyway. So anyway, they got a pool toy, okay? They got a pool inflatable donut. And I'm like, all right, this will work. I only need it for like a day. It's $5. If I get 5 runs out of it, fine. Bring it home, and I'm like, great. In, have a little bit of fun. That'll be great. You know, get a little exercise anyway. Climb up the hill, go back down. Should be fun. Go back to your roots. I start trying to blow this thing up. It is impossible. I would need an iron lung assisting me. It is impossible. I am sitting on the couch in our living room trying to blow up a pool toy in February to go sledding for 20 minutes. My wife comes out of the basement. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm still blowing up this thing. She goes, I can hear you downstairs. Are you like choking to death? It also smells toxic. What is going on? I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I've blown up, you know, tubes forever. I can't do this one. I don't know if I got a defective one or maybe these days they're all used for pumps. I couldn't figure that part out either. I got an air compressor. I couldn't get the nozzle in there. The whole thing was a nightmare. It took me a half hour to blow up this thing. And by the end of it, I'm totally exhausted. I don't even have any energy to go out and sled anyway. So how are they making these pool toys? And how are they making inflatables? That, to me, come on here. Help us out. I'm not a smoker. I'm in good shape, and I still can't blow up the pool toy / snow toy. Get it out.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
Folks, I don't know how you're doing this with kids, blowing up all their stuff in like the pool and in the yard. I mean, it must be brutal.
So first of all, you are living a parallel life to my wife right now, because we have been dealing with this black market sled issue for the entire winter, basically. You can't get one. And like when yours, like we, the first big snow was that early January. We were out on a hill and like our thing broke. And we're like, what are we going to do now? You cannot find one of these things anywhere. You can't. Nope. Online, in store, they are just gone. I don't know if factories have been hit hard by COVID or they're just like, listen, we're making something else, not sleds, but you can't get a sled anywhere. And my wife was in Target and saw the same, like, oh, it's almost summer display. Get your pool toys. And I was like, maybe I'll buy one of these. But then realized then we ran the risk of, hopefully winter's almost over, so we'll be okay, which means it'll be still snowing in April. Yeah. But yeah, blowing these things up. Now, some of them, I don't know if this is your problem, but they have, you almost have to like bite the nozzle like to break a seal.
Yeah.
To get the air in. I think it's designed to prevent the air from coming back out after you. Yes. Blow some in. But that adds a whole other level of skill to this operation.
Yes.
That I also do not have.
Yeah.
And then you need, like my little foot pump then sometimes doesn't get in enough to like puncture this safety membrane thing, and you're right, you got nothing. You're dead in the water.
That's exactly what happened. I couldn't blow directly into it because the air wasn't going to go in because it had one of those trap doors, I guess, to not allow it to come back out. So I had to bite down to create a crease enough to get it in. But I mean, it's going like little by little by little. I exhausted myself, and it was less than a quarter of the way filled up. I then punched that little nozzle, little nipple in, and that seemed to help out a little bit. But again, there's something happened with the new technology where it doesn't allow the air to come out, but it also makes it impossible to blow it up as well. Unlike our old blow-up toys when we were growing up, you know, it was just like, yeah, air is going to come out, but you just grab it with your finger and your index finger, your thumb and your index finger, to make sure it doesn't come out when you have to take another breath. But these days, you know, it's trying to prevent that, I guess, but it was brutal.
Or and you have emphysema. That maybe you need to go see a doctor. Maybe you have no lung capacity.
I could be Jody Mack at this point with black lung. You know,
Jody can do it in 2 seconds, by the way. It took you 2 hours. One breath for Jody.
I got, I think, 8 or 9 runs out of it, and then the thing split. So if you were hoping for more than that for the pool toy, if Katie's going out to buy this thing, it's going to get you about 8 runs or so, and that was probably a lucky 8. It's probably going to split within 5 if you had you had some real action there. So, Trash Tuesday, send us your trashes on Twitter. Mike tweets, beam me up, DA. I'm trashing the parents and coach of the kid that disrespected Cam Newton. Before anybody else, this is an indictment of how parents befriend their kids too much. You disrespectful delinquent. Hashtag straight trash, bro.
Overflowing landfill.
The kid that was chirping at Cam Newton at his own camp this weekend. Jeffrey tweets, I'm trashing old man winter. I am done with this bleeping snow. Hashtag trash Tuesday.
That's garbage, and we're not talking about the band.
Dixieland Dan tweets, I'm trashing a neighbor during snowpocalypse down here. I was using my tractor to clear some snow from driveways of the neighborhood, and this guy comes out screaming, telling me to get out of his driveway. I hope you slide off into a ditch on your slicker than owl snot driveway. Trash him.
Total wasteoid.
Slicker than owl snot. Now that's slick. Steve tweets. For Dixieland Dan it is. He's got some good countryism. Slicker than owl snot. Steve tweets, I'm trashing the Mariners ex-president for everything he said, but more for thinking a Zoom video was private in today's world. Really? Please trash this dumbass. Bring on the Kraken already.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Brett in Boise tweets, I want to trash all the Trevor Lawrence doubters. Didn't we learn enough from Remember the Titans? QBs with long hair will always prevail. Hashtag sunshine.
I smell rotten eggs.
Tweet at me your trashes, DA on CBS, or on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. Again, 855-212-4227. When we come back here on the show, remember Isaiah Wilson? Well, we are going to get into how he's already basically quit the Titans coming up. But first up, we've got your headlines. Andrew Bogish, a big night around the NBA. Bogues, where do we begin?
Thought you were going to forget about me there for just a second. The Lakers were again without Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder, but they probably should still beat the Wizards at Staples.
In now to Bertans, right corner now to Westbrook, cuts Banks and scores at one. And he flexes, and the Wizards may have won. 127-124. And Russell Westbrook is going
Dave
to the free
Johnson,
throw line.
Dave Johnson, Wizards Radio, Washington, a 127-124 win in OT in LA after trailing by 17 in the second half. Russ had 32 points, 14 rebounds, and 9 assists. Bradley Beal scored 33. Maybe the Lakers could have won in regulation, but LeBron missed a tie-breaking free throw with 9 seconds left.
Obviously, I take full responsibility missing that free throw. I got to make the free throw step up there. That's an easy point for us, but... we didn't lose the game there, but I take that responsibility for sure. And I got
LeBron
be
scored 31, 13 assists, but his team has now dropped 3 in a row and 4 of 5. The Jazz took care of the Hornets 132-110 while hitting a team record 28 threes. Devin Booker had 34 points, and the Suns 132-100 knockout of the Blazers. Miami won an OKC 108-94. The Mavs topped the Grizzlies 102-92. And the Bulls won in Houston 120-100. That's an 8-game skid for the Rockets. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin confirming he recently tested positive for COVID. He says he had minimal symptoms and is in good health overall. Tomlin also thanked media members who knew about this but respected his privacy. Our good buddy Ian Rappaport not included, I guess, because he was the one that broke the news yesterday. The Mariners say before they made a decision on firing President Kevin Mather, he resigned yesterday. He couldn't keep the job one way or another after those now infamous comments during a Rotary Club Zoom meeting earlier this month. Among the bad things Mather said was criticizing international players for not speaking English well enough. On a much happier note, Freddie Freeman will be a little late to Braves spring training because his family has 2 new baby boys. But listen to this. The Freemans were having trouble conceiving for a couple years, so they eventually found a surrogate last spring to carry their baby. But then Chelsea Freeman got pregnant on her own, so they had 2 separate pregnancies of their children going at the same time. Brandon John was born December 30th, Maximus Turner on Valentine's Day. So
she
the Freemans
pregnant on her own, like from artificial insemination?
I don't know the specifics of that conceiving.
Was it another
guy? No. It was they had their own child naturally while thinking they couldn't, so they used a surrogate. So all of a sudden they had 2 concurrent pregnancies. They're
two
not
different bellies. Got it.
Okay. 2 different bellies. Okay. Same guy, same lady, just 2 different vessels of delivery, I guess. Wow. And they're not twins, obviously, but they're brothers born just a couple of months apart.
Wow.
Pretty crazy story.
Yeah, that's kind of like
that
Irish
was not
twins.
Adultery.
Wow. Okay.
That's great. College hoops last night. Number 18, Texas Tech losing in OT at Oklahoma State, 74-69. And number 19, USC handled Oregon 72-58. Notre Dame says it supports athletes benefiting financially from their name and likeness, but until there are NCAA rules in place for that, the football program will not be part of EA Sports College Football video game, which is returning after 8 years. And finally, Getme Rubinoff has told me, get me the Panthers score. So Florida beat Dallas last night 3-1. The Panthers have 26 points, the second most in the NHL. So maybe I shouldn't need Sam to tell me to get me a Panthers score.
Excellent. So last week we talked about Isaiah Wilson, who was the first round pick of the Tennessee Titans and played in only 4 snaps this past season as a rookie. Now the GM, John Robinson of the Titans, said that he had had no contact with Isaiah Wilson and that Wilson had to make a decision whether he wanted to play football anymore. Well, last night Isaiah Wilson tweeted something and he immediately deleted it. It's not that great. We will discuss what he tweeted next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
Ow! Excuse me. 4227. Excuse me. You say it in jest. Excuse me.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Glad you're back with us here on the show. We appreciate you being with us on a fine Tuesday. It's a Trash Tuesday, so let us know what you're trashing. What is it that's bugging you? Tweet at me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. You can also dial me up at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Patrick tweets, I'm trashing those Miami Heat jerseys called the Miami Vice version. What an absolute eyesore to look at for a few minutes, let alone an entire game. As a jersey purist like yourself, DA, I hope you don't say, you know what, I kind of like them. Hashtag straight trash, hashtag girlfriend.
That's a dumpster dive.
What if I told you I kind of like them? Look, here's why. The Heat old school jerseys, like the retro late 80s, mid 90s, Tim Hardaway, Alonzo Mourning, Glenn Rice jerseys are the best Heat jerseys. Okay, I love those. I didn't love the LeBron Heatles era Heat jerseys. I like the old school ones better. But the Vice jerseys are cool because of the NBA. I'm fine with NBA teams having one crazy alternate, okay? I don't need all of them to be crazy alternates, but you have 82 games. It's unlike football where you have 12 college or 16 NFL, and there's only 16 chances to wear an NFL uniform, and most of the time, it's 8 home, 8 road. So now you're talking about taking 1 of 8 away, 2 of 8 away. I hate that. In the NBA, there's a ton of games. And the NBA, unless you are the Lakers or the Celtics, you know, there's not a lot of hardcore history going into most of the jerseys anyway. I hate the Celtics black jerseys. Hate them. I think they're criminal. I hate them so much. The fact that LeBron doesn't wear the Magic Johnson Laker jerseys is offensive. Those are one of the coolest jerseys ever. The Lakers shouldn't have to have an updated modern version of their home yellows, their home golds and purples. It should just be the old Magic jerseys. They're beautiful. They're perfect. Just like the Celtics' green and whites are perfect. But for the Heat, you wear the Vice jerseys every so often. I'm fine with that. Have fun with your alternates, okay? What I don't like is when you don't know what the real jersey is because these teams wear the alternates so much in the NBA. I honestly don't know what the Hawks' real jersey is. I don't know what the Jazz' real jerseys are. I don't know. If the Jazz wore 1 home and 1 away and then every so often worked in that gradient, that orange-yellow gradient, I mean, I'd be okay with it. That's also not their colors. Like the Miami Vice jerseys, hyper pink and hyper blue, not the Heat jersey colors. So I think you got to limit those. You really got to limit them. So I like the alternates once in a while. It flavors things up. But the thing is, it becomes totally overdone. So Isaiah Wilson is a nightmare. Last year drafted 29th overall, first round pick, offensive lineman, played in just four snaps this year, was in and out of COVID precaution and protocol, sent to the reserved list. Coaches couldn't stand him. GM couldn't stand him. GM John Robinson says he's going to have to decide whether he wants to play football or not last week. Last night, Isaiah Wilson tweets, "I'm done with football as a Titan. No further comments." He has since deleted that tweet. Now, number one, I don't let the Titans off the hook here. You can't tell me that some dude that you drafted last year within a calendar year goes so off the mark, he just is so out of the cornfield that you could have never seen this coming and that this was, quote, not the guy you evaluated. I don't buy that for a second. You had to have known there was some type of risk here because he was projected to be a middle round pick and you took him at the end of the first round. So don't tell me there wasn't any risk and this is just not the guy we evaluated. We could have never seen this coming. You took a risk and you got burned by it. But number two for Isaiah Wilson, "I'm done with football as a Titan." What does that mean? They still have your contract. They still own your rights. Are you a guy that played in four snaps last year going to force a trade? Are you going to threaten to quit unless you get traded? Are you going to threaten to quit unless you're released? If you're released, remember, you don't earn any of that money again. So now you're on the street and somebody else is going to pick you up for a minimum contract. Are you quitting football or just quitting the Titans? Because if you just quit the Titans, that's a really different thing. If you're quitting football altogether, okay, but that's different than done with football as a Titan. And number two, would you like to know the Twitter handle of Isaiah Wilson? Guesses, anybody? Back room, you with your arm up. It would be at lazy, as in lazy. Lazy, like he lazy. Again, if you're going to tell me John Robinson and Mike Vrabel and the Titans didn't have a few red flags, we're going to call BS on that. His Twitter handle was at lazy. I think we have all the information we need here. So what happens next? Does lazy at lazy, does at lazy end up quitting the Titans? Remember the Titans. Or does he end up quitting football? Or does he end up just kind of chirping on Twitter and going back into hiding? Do we end up ever seeing him on a football field again? Does he realize there is no XFL this year, so he might want to be careful there? Does he realize the Alliance went out of business? He might want to be careful there. Just wondering what Atleze thinks about all of this right now. Wondering how his agent feels about this. Yeah, my client, you know him. Isaiah Wilson. Oh, yeah, he's the guy that played in just four snaps his entire NFL career and has chosen the Twitter handle Atleze. Yeah, that guy. You know, the guy that said he was going to quit football, but just with the Titans, but then he realized he was under contract. He couldn't just quit football unless he just, you know, quit everything altogether. Right. Yeah, that guy. That's my client. Yep. He punted on a $3 million contract. So, you know, what are you going to do? But he's got that Twitter handle. And he's killing it on Twitter. He's really is a great follower. You should go there. Tweet some really funny stuff. Retweets Rex Chapman all the time. Really good stuff. Good. I mean, just funny, funny guy on Twitter. Good follow. At lazy. You should go there and check him out. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Chris tweets, "I'm trashing my neighbor's 20 bird feeders where the birds drop the seed on the ground in turn, draws in the skunks in turn, sprayed my dog at 6 a.m. in turn, I stink at work. Hashtag get him out."
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
When we come back here on the DA show at the top of the hour, did the Mariners have to fire their CEO after his comments? We'll do that next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.